Hey everybody, welcome to Freedom Talk. I'm delighted and thrilled to welcome Sheriff Richard Mack to Freedom Talk. Welcome, Sheriff.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here. I've been hoping to be on with you for a long time. And so thank you, thank you, thank you. It's an honor to be with you.
Great. Great to have you. Now, as hard as it is for me to imagine, there's some people out there who don't probably know much about you, a little bit about your story. Maybe you can give us that high-level view of who you are and how you turned on the federal government and everything else.
Well, the only reason that you and I know each other, the only reason that you and I are speaking right now, is because when I was sheriff of Graham County, Arizona, and you probably know where that is, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay. I grew up in Safford. And in sports, we used to play a couple of Tucson teams, Flowing Wells and Canyon Del Oro, CDO. And my junior year, we beat them both, and we ended up winning the state championship, and we never lost a game. And so that's one of the highlights, is that we beat schools two or three times bigger than us, and that would be Flowing Wells and CDO. But the reason that you and I know each other is because when I was sheriff, I did something quite unique, quite crazy. I actually sued the Clinton administration. This is back in the 90s when Bill Clinton was president. And so I sued them for overreach and regarding the overreach and gun control associated with the Brady Bill. And get this, a lot of people don't realize this, but this was the first time in history where a sheriff sued the federal government, but this was also the first time in history where the federal government attempted to commandeer and conscript the office of sheriff nationwide in order to enforce the Brady Bill for the federal government for free without any negotiation and with a threat of arrest if we failed to comply. And most people still can't believe that. And sometimes I can't either, but that's exactly what the federal government did pursuant to the overreach of the Clinton administration. And so I said, man, I've had it with this. I've had it with the federal government thinking they can do anything they want whenever they want, and nobody can do anything about it. And it almost was that nobody did anything about it, because the BATF came to a meeting in Phoenix, Arizona, of the Sheriff's Association. And the other sheriffs that were there were just absolutely livid. I mean, the F-bombs and the cussing that they were doing, it wasn't coming from me. I was, first of all, I don't throw F-bombs. Secondly, I was the youngest sheriff in the state at the time. And I was waiting to hear from the older sheriffs to see what would be our response to this horrible presentation by three BATF agents saying and explaining to us what we had to do in order to enforce the federal mandate, federal BS known as the Brady Bill. And the Brady Bill was requiring us to do all the work on it and then take all the political heat for it for the federal government. And so as it proceeded, I told the three agents there, I said, one in particular, because he was talking, and I said, you guys know we don't work for you, right? And he goes, well, you would think that, but Congress passed a law which changed all that. And I said, I don't care if they pass 500 laws. You cannot conscript the office of sheriff for federal bidding just because you pass anything you feel like without negotiating us or without going through the state. And so, you know, they just kind of shrugged their shoulders and went on with their presentation. And so the other sheriffs that were really cussing up a storm and how they hated this, by the end of the day, they all acquiesced. And I told them, I said, you guys totally convinced me that we shouldn't be doing this. And Now you're telling me that we have to go along, because they kept saying this over and over. You can't fight City Hall. Well, I told them,
yeah,
I don't believe that. I don't believe City Hall and especially the City Hall in Washington, D.C. And if we allow this to continue, where does it stop?
Yeah.
So I said, this is it for me. And I went home and I told my wife I wanted to sue the federal government. And for some crazy reason, she totally supported it. And that's where the decision was made. And then I called the NRA, and I wasn't a member, but I said, I need help. And they hooked me up with a NRA lawyer by the name of Richard Gardner. I told him who I was and what I wanted to do. And the next sentence out of his mouth changed my life forever. He said, Sheriff, we've already been preparing the paperwork on this case to go to court. And we've just been praying that you would call. And I said, me? And he goes, you're the first sheriff to call, and we need a sheriff, and we're ready to go. He says, we've got the funding, we've got the lawyers. And I said, I would also like my own lawyer on this. And he said, fine. And I said, can you recommend one out here in Arizona that knows the Second Amendment and the Constitution? He said, Dave Hardy. He used to work for us. Dave Hardy lives in Tucson. And Dave Hardy and the NRA lawyers filed this suit on February 28, 1997. And then six other sheriffs joined me in that lawsuit. And Sheriff Prince and I went to the United States Supreme Court in December of 1996. And we won June 27, 1997. And I will never forget that date.
Wow. That's an amazing story. And, you know, this brings something to my mind, Sheriff. You know, the U.S. Constitution was ratified June 21st, 1780. I want to say 1789, I believe. And yes. There were some of the founding fathers who opposed it because they felt like it would give the federal government too much power. These were the anti-federalists. Patrick Henry, Samuel Adams, who's a real hero of mine, James Monroe, and others opposed it. So I know that I think it was James Madison really worked on some safeguards against that. Of course, we have the Ninth Amendment that helps protect us to say, look, the Constitution.
And I sued on the 10th. So the 10th's a big one, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Tell me about the 10th Amendment and how that relates.
Well, this is what everybody needs to understand. And most people in the states and the counties don't get this. But you need to go back to the Constitution and the intent of the founders, and you'll get this. OK, and it's so academic, though. Everybody should get it. It's just history. So first, you have to look at the Constitution itself and say, what was it designed to do? It was designed because of what you were alluding to is the founding fathers were scared to death of creating a new central government that would get out of control. And so they designed a constitution that wouldn't allow for that. But they never took into consideration how corrupt Washington, D.C. would get.
Yeah.
But this is what the Constitution says. There are five law enforcement powers delegated to the new federal government. Five. Not six, not seven. Five. And in my Supreme Court case, Scalia said that the federal government was delegated only discrete and enumerated powers, which means you can go through the Constitution and number them, list it. Give me a list of all the powers right out of the Constitution, and it doesn't even total 40. Okay? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It does not even total 40. And they have stolen thousands, as you probably well know, John. I mean, seriously, they've stolen thousands of them. But the states are the ones that should have pushed back. The states are the greatest check and balance we have, except maybe for we're the people. But I want to name those five powers.
Could I interject one thing real quick? Just for anybody listening in, the 10th Amendment essentially says any powers not given to the federal government or withheld from the states are reserved to the states or to the people. And the Ninth Amendment, I think, goes hand in hand with that. The rights listed in the Constitution do not take away or diminish other rights that the people have is essentially what the Ninth Amendment says. So the powers not expressly delegated to the federal government belong to
the states. They don't have them. If it's not expressly delegated, they don't have them. It doesn't belong to them.
Yeah. So you're going to talk about these five.
But who's supposed to enforce that? And the states don't realize it's them. We have to tell the federal government. You cannot do that because it's not expressly delegated to you in the Constitution. And if it's not delegated to you, it belongs to the states or the people. So you can't steal these powers. So, okay, let's hear. I know everybody's on pins and needles, waiting for the five.
All right.
and they should be. Okay. So number one, treason. The federal government has law enforcement authority to investigate and enforce the criminal penalties associated with treason. Counterfeiting. Felonies committed on the high seas or piracies. Number four is a real big one. It's in Article 4, Section 4, and it says the federal government shall, the United States shall protect the borders, protect our borders from invasion.
Oh, wow.
I know. They failed miserably at that. And then there's kind of an innocuous one, laws against treaties. So or violations of treaties. So if somebody, it says in the Article 1, Section 8, laws against nations. Yeah. And so if someone goes into Canada and violates international law or violates one of the treaties that we have with Canada, then the law is enforced by the federal government. But when you look at all of the ones they've stolen, and one of the worst ones, the stupidest one, that the courts have been so stupid on, is that if someone is charged with a civil rights violation out here in Tucson, Arizona, and they're charged criminally by the state, and then they're found not guilty, the federal government can come in and grab them and haul them off to federal court and charge them with the same thing again, even though the Fifth Amendment says no double jeopardy.
Yeah, I was just going to say that's double jeopardy.
But they don't care. And see, the state should stop all that, because when you have the federal government and the courts and the legislative branch that are totally against the Constitution and they violate it, does that mean the states and the sheriffs have to go along? No, of course not.
They swear an oath to the people. And, you know, I have reminded some law enforcement officers of that because of the nature, which I'll share with you sometime soon, but the nature of how we were persecuted and attacked by Pima County, and even the federal government. I reminded law enforcement officers, hey, you swore an oath. You know, you can't just be an order taker. And I believe you have that responsibility to protect the people and to follow the Constitution. But Sheriff Mack, what you know, I was writing really early on about lawfare. That's a buzzword now, but essentially, I'd say misusing and abusing the law, which is supposed to be there to protect our rights, using it as a bludgeon against the people. So right. I know Steve Bannon, he's sitting in prison right now. I know some J6 people who did absolutely nothing wrong. I've been subjected to lawfare. I found out I was the first parent, the only one specifically mentioned as a so-called domestic terrorist, because I spoke up against forced masking of kids. So we have the federal government, the FBI, watching people, surveilling them, putting them in jail, putting them in prison, going after our presidential candidate, Donald Trump. I would assume that this is egregious overstepping of their bounds, because I don't, you know, I wrote down those five areas that they're delegated, and I don't see any of this on there. Like, how can Merrick Garland designate concerned parents as domestic terrorists? I don't see that anywhere.
I know. And that's why at the CSPOA, we're trying to reverse all this. And we need the sheriffs to be a part of this. And the sheriff is the ultimate law enforcement authority in his county. And in my decision, which I have every one of your supporters, listeners, members, they need to get this book.
I have that. It's great.
Yeah, and if you've seen it, and folks, this is it fits right in your shirt pocket.
Yeah,
and it's only 16 pages, but it's the highlights of this most powerful 10th Amendment decision, the state sovereignty decision. And Scalia writing the decision for the majority just totally blew my mind. But again, this is the only time in history where sheriffs sued the federal government and won. And so, folks, yes, I sued the Clintons and lived to tell about it. How about that?
Wow.
How about that for a miracle? Well, this case is a miracle. And you all of you should get your hands on this, because Scalia actually in the introduction says that he is going, he said that this case by the CLIOs, and he calls us the CLIOs, the chief law enforcement officer. So it's declared in this decision, and it's also declared in the Brady bill itself, that we are the CLIOs. They handed all of this over to the CLIOs of each state. And who did they give it to? The sheriffs.
Yeah.
So,
and I understand.
Scalia says this.
Oh, go
the
ahead.
Challenge, the CLIO's challenge must be sought in historical and historical understanding and practice. He just takes us through a history lesson here, John. This is why this is so powerful. And he quotes the Federalist Papers. He quotes mm-hmm. the Founders. He quotes the Declaration of Independence. He quotes the Constitution. And this decision, everybody should get a hold of this. You should pass this on to your sheriff and your local officials and your state reps and your governor. Say, this is a Supreme Court decision, and this is the law of the land, because all this is a reinforcement of our Constitution and our form of government.
Yeah, that's so great. And, you know, I understand you actually have the ability to deputize people to even form a posse.
Yep.
I was listening to you interviewing with my good friend Alex Newman, and I think I had heard either he or you mention that a church that wanted to keep having worship services, they had a sheriff in their congregation, and he deputized everyone so that they couldn't be prevented from meeting. Had you heard about that?
That's one of my favorite stories, because we call it the Tale of Two Sheriffs, because Sheriff Cronister in Tampa, Florida, arrested Pastor Rodney Howard Brown.
Oh my gosh.
And just for having church. That's it. That was his only crime. And there was no statute that says he couldn't. There was, folks, none of the CDC mandates became laws anywhere.
No. And it's interesting because the framers of the Declaration were meeting at a time when smallpox was prevalent and tuberculosis and a whole bunch of other things. Mm-hmm. By the way, folks, here's this booklet that Sheriff Mack is talking about, Supreme Court Case for State Sovereignty. How can people get that, Sheriff Mack?
Just go to shop at cspoa.org and order all my books. But look, I make a little money on the bigger books. This thing is $2. Okay. Yeah. You can get three for $5. So there's really not much markup in this.
Yeah.
And folks, this is the most important book you could have, the especially a pocket size. You should have a pocket size Bible, a pocket size Constitution, and then this.
I love it.
But
love
these
it.
You should be passing around. You should keep these handy so you can pass them around to local officials who believe we're a democracy, or who believe that the federal government is our boss somehow. And this totally smacks that out of the park. They are not our boss. He says it. Quote, we have held, however, that state legislatures are not subject to federal direction.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. They're not our boss.
And I'm going to
There's a lot more in this.
I'm going to soapbox a little bit here and encourage people to go to cspoa.org. I'm assuming you can take donations for the organization there.
Yes, we can. And they can join our posse. And awesome. Folks, it's vital that you join the CSPOA posse. And the reason is because every Wednesday we train you on how to become a posse member in your county and help your sheriff form a posse. So folks, this blesses us. It blesses you. It blesses our country, and it strengthens the only peaceful and effective solution that we have left in America. The only peaceful and effective solution we have is taking back America, county by county, one good posse working with a good constitutional sheriff to erect the barriers, as Madison put it, erect the barriers against the encroachments of the national authority. Folks, we can take America back. We don't have to wait for an election. We don't have to wait for new legislation. We can do it right now with the sheriffs of our country leading the way and creating constitutional counties and cells of constitutional counties all over this country. And that's how we take it back. There is no solution in Washington, D.C. Do I hope Trump wins? Yes. Yeah. But are they going to stop bothering him and getting in his way? No.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, this is my opinion, obviously, but it's crazy that a senile old man sitting on the East Coast could dictate things to people. And then I hear that Kamala apparently wants to issue an executive order to start grabbing guns. You don't get to do that. I mean, natural rights are what the Constitution is predicated upon. It's a natural right to defend yourself. This shouldn't even be up for discussion.
I really love the fact that you bring up natural rights. Because one, the Second Amendment guarantees a natural right. And people say, well, guns are a natural right. And I said, the tool I use to defend my life and for self-preservation mm-hmm. is up to me. And how I preserve my life is up to me. I can use a shovel. I can use a knife. Or I can use the most effective weapon out there is a gun. And nobody on the face of this planet has a right to take that away from me, has the authority, has the power. And therefore, I will not comply with any gun control laws. I will not comply with anything that Kamala Harris might be trying to do to take, one, my personal property away from me without due process. That's against the law. And it's also against the Second Amendment that she cannot disarm us.
Well, and the language of the Second Amendment is very telling because it doesn't say you have the right to bear arms. It says the right to bear arms shall not be infringed, which obviously tells us that's a right that's eternal, that already exists, that they took for
have that right whether they have a Second Amendment or not.
Yep, exactly. And that's where I love the Ninth Amendment, because it says basically that not all of our rights are enumerated in the Constitution, and any of those things that are in the Bill of Rights, for example, can't take away rights that aren't listed. And it's a
just because it's not listed doesn't mean I don't have it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the Ninth Amendment. But there's one other natural right that I wanted to bring up.
Yes.
And I'm really glad you brought those up. I love to discuss natural rights. The one that the federal government has destroyed and that they think they have complete control of for some reason in this totalitarian democratic dictatorship that they have created and fabricated. In this totalitarian dictatorship that we have today, they have for a number of years now taken complete control of our natural right called the fruits of my labor.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And so the natural right of any man or woman is that if I work and create something, it belongs to me, mm-hmm. not you, not my neighbor, not my friends, not the community. And communism, of course, communism says that it all belongs to the community, but the government has the control over it to make sure who gets it.
And I don't know how many people understand that when this country was being formed, there were socialists. There were people with socialist ideas that tried to bring them in, and they were roundly rejected. And also, our founding fathers knew that these conflicts would come. And that's something I want to ask you, Sheriff Mack, because we have the lawfare. We have the law being used against us. I wrote an article, I think it was last year, where I put these different levels, because natural law or God-given law is the highest law. Below that is constitutional law. Below that is legislated law, ordinances, and so on and so forth. But once you cross a certain line, you're getting into tyranny. And there comes a certain point where you have to say, look, they're not only violating the law of the land, which should belong to the people, they're violating my natural rights. So you come to that and you say, how do people protect those natural rights? And I want to read a quote. I'm sorry, this is a little bit of a long soliloquy here, but Thomas Jefferson, I think borrowing a lot from the thinking of John Locke, said a strict observance of the laws is doubtless one of the high duties of a good citizen, but it is not the highest. The laws of necessity, of self-preservation, of saving our country when in danger, are of higher obligation. To lose our country by a scrupulous adherence to written law would be to lose the law itself, with life, liberty, property, and all those who are enjoying them with us, thus absurdly sacrificing the end to the means. And John Locke said, any single man must judge whether circumstances warrant obedience or resistance to the commands of the civil magistrate. And that quote goes on. But what I'm getting at here is, what can citizens do when the law of the land is abused, when it's contrary to their natural rights, and in many cases, contrary to the Constitution, when the judges are corrupt, when even law enforcement is corrupt, what can you do?
Well, that's what I've said for a long time, that when Thomas Jefferson's warning that when all government should be drawn to Washington as the center of all power and become as venal and corrupt as the system from which we separated, my question right there is, to whom can the American people turn for peace, safety, protection, and liberty when it seems like all government has gone to lawfare, weaponization of government, instead of being there to do what the Declaration of Independence said, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. When government, as the Declaration of Independence says, becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people and their duty to throw off such government and establish new guards for our happiness. Well, folks, I believe there still is a peaceful process for that. I am not and never have advocated for violence, even though the federal government seems to be pushing us in that direction. Yeah. They just keep going after us. They keep bullying. You've never, you know, these Democrats always, always talk about the dangers of bullying, and we don't want bullies in our schools and anyplace else. And the biggest bullies in this country are from Washington, D.C., the FBI, the IRS especially, but the FDA is doing it, the EPA is doing it, Army Corps of Engineers do it. It just goes on and on. DEA, Secret Service, and there's no end to all of that. And now we've got this monster in Washington, D.C. that is now destroying our liberty, destroying our country. And so what can we do? I believe it's the only thing we have left. And we start organizing in our counties to create constitutional counties with constitutional sheriffs that will put the federal government on notice. And this is what our September 7th event is all about, that we are going to create a declaration, a new one, to the federal government, to all the federal bureaucracies, to the state governments and bureaucrats, that the Bill of Rights will be enforced strictly in our county, and that the sheriff will enforce that against all enemies, foreign and domestic. It doesn't matter if you're carrying a fancy briefcase and wearing a three-piece suit. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you come from. All criminals, all people who violate the Constitution, all federal, all agents and bureaucrats, if you come into my county, you better let me know first so that I know what you're doing and that you're not violating the rights of any of the people in this county like you did during January 6 arrests. Not one time did you FBI agents, not once did you follow or obey extradition laws of the state required by the U.S. Constitution. Not one time. Wow. So I'm not trusting you. You've been weaponized. And to do a check and balance for my people, we're putting you on notice. Check in my office before you do anything in my county. If you don't, then we're going to start erecting barriers against you coming into my county for any reason.
You know,
and we do that. We enforce it.
I think this, you know, knowing communism, this could come to a matter of survival. And I'm so glad to hear you say this, because I've been looking for solutions, because, you know, the left does their sanctuary cities and so on. We need sanctuary from political persecution. We all know lawfare is happening. We all know that you can be mercilessly persecuted simply for having a different opinion. We see this happening in Europe, where immigrants can rape women and get community service, but somebody who posts something the government doesn't like on social media gets prison. And so I've been floating this idea, and I've talked to some members of Congress about it, of states, or perhaps maybe that would be counties, declaring themselves as sanctuaries for American people, because you can say live in Bangladesh or wherever and apply for not sanctuary, but what's the word I'm looking for? Asylum in the U.S. Oh. But what do we do as Americans? So what do you do if, you know, you've been politically targeted, much like Trump has and others, mm-hmm. and, you know, they've come after some of us. If we don't stop it, they'll come after all of us.
Well, I have to tell you, they did it to me, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Back in 1997, I moved to Utah, where I actually started my police career. And I just lost my third race for sheriff in Graham County. A lot of people from Utah County said, hey, come back to Utah. You can win sheriff here. And so I ran for sheriff. And the convention that starts at the beginning of the political year for all of that, I won 2-1 over my opponent. And he was the incumbent. I had momentum on my side. And it started going nationwide that it looked like I could win this. So 3 days before the election on June 8th, 1998. Now, remember, I won against the federal government, against the Clinton administration. I beat the federal government at the U.S. Supreme Court, June 27, 1997. A year later, on June 8th, 1998, I'm running for Utah County Sheriff. So 3 days before the election, the FBI and IRS raided my office, put my name on a warrant, a search warrant that was aimed at a client of mine. I had nothing to do with me. And of course, the newspaper had the biggest front page headline I've ever seen. Mac raided by the FBI. Huge. It took almost the entire half page of the front page of the newspaper, Provo Daily Herald.
People see that and it's guilty before proven innocent.
I didn't have time to do any damage control. I lost the election. And guess what, John? I never heard from the FBI or IRS again, ever.
Wow.
Never.
Well, something similar. I don't speak for Andy Ogles here in Tennessee, but just after he won his primary and after he put forward a motion to impeach Kamala Harris, suddenly the FBI is raiding him and taking his phone. And I see this over and over again, you know, right after he beat the Rhino candidate, they come after him. And this kind of thing has to stop.
They've been doing it for years.
This is why I've talked about some sort of sanctuary, some kind of process where people can go and say, look, and I think to the states, maybe the counties, and say, look, I am being persecuted for my political beliefs. The law is being used as a weapon against me. Can you evaluate this? Because even sometimes appealing within a court system, what if all the judges are on one side of the political spectrum? You know, where do you go? What do you do? You know, so it's something I'm still exploring. I'm talking with some people here. But when I was listening to you this morning on the interview you did with Alex Newman, you started and look, I went to Las Vegas with Mike Lindell. I was there when you spoke. I had some contact with some of your constitutional sheriffs.
Yeah.
But it really clicked in my head that maybe for this lawfare, for this protection of people who are being persecuted Stasi style by their own government, maybe this is a very good route to take. You know, could a sheriff step forward and say, no, this is in my jurisdiction, I believe, this is political persecution.
I can tell you numerous stories where sheriffs have done it. This isn't pie in the sky hoping. This is stuff that's already happened. All we need now is more sheriffs to do it and step up.
So how
are we going to get them to do it? Their constituents have got to go to them. That's why the people on the show, you've got to talk to your sheriff. You've got to get a relationship with him and you've got to help him get on board. That's the plan.
I'm going to do that here with our sheriff, our new sheriff here. I know turns out your cousin, Sheriff Mark Lamb, back there in Pinal County, Arizona, great friend, great guy. But, you know, I'm working with some local veterans and politicians on this problem. I've been up to Congress to speak to the 5 different members of Congress and their staff. I know this is a concern in Washington, but honestly, I feel like this is more of a decentralization issue. In other words, we take it to the counties, we take it to the states.
Right.
And that's where, you know, we have to protect our own. You mentioned democracy, by the way, and this is the cover of our next Freedom Talk magazine. I'm going to theme it on democracy. So we have Mao Zedong here wearing a mask and it's got Kamala's smile on it. And the whole idea is that these smiling, nice people have a sinister motive, and it is Marxism. It is communism. So speaking of Alex Newman, he writes for it. Eric Metaxas, I brought in a piece from Dinesh D'Souza last issue. Dr. James Lindsay contributes pieces from time to time. So I would very much like to do an article in the next issue about what you're working on and about the CSPOA. I want to encourage our listeners and viewers right now. I really want to go to this CSPOA training in Miami, but I could use some help. I'm going to
assume it's in Orlando. Orlando.
Oh, sorry. Yes, Orlando. Yes.
What, and everybody's welcome. You're welcome. Everybody's welcome. Bring your sheriff. Help fund your sheriff to be there. Yeah. And you can do that through us. He probably won't take money directly from you to go, but we can provide for him and we can do it. So nice. Donate at the CSPOA and we'll make it happen.
Well, I'll talk with him. And if you'd like to give a donation to Freedom Talk, I'll put that money toward a trip. I'm going to play a little 30-second thing here and I'll be right back.
Citizen journalism's on the rise, but why is that? Well, it's because the mainstream media is full of propaganda and lies. That's why I'm working really hard for you every day to bring you great information and to fight for the things that are important to you. So if you're tired of the lamestream media and politicians who make big promises but don't do a lot of delivering, invest in spreading truth by making a monthly recurring donation at realfreedomtalk.com/give.
Well, that's great to know. So if I am wanting to talk to my sheriff, do I just send them to your website? And if I want to encourage them to go to Orlando, you're saying there might be some funding available there?
They can get yes, and there's funding available. And you can give them my direct phone number, and you can give them our website. If they want to talk to me, have them call me. You have my number.
Awesome. Well, I know your time is limited, but I wanted to switch gears a bit and talk about Tina Peters' trial and the elections and what sheriffs can do to address election integrity. As you know, I work for Mike Lindell as Lindell Offense Fund Communications Director. And, you know, if people don't believe that the 2020 election was just filled with corruption, you're not paying attention. The Georgia Election Commission so much as admitted it. New stories are coming out all the time. But please give us an update on Tina's trial. I know, Tina, I've spoken at an event alongside her, and I know a lot of people would like to know what's going on.
Well, Tina asked me to come out, and I went to her fundraiser this past Sunday, and I took some things to auction off, and all the money went to her. She has quite a huge team of lawyers. She has four lawyers helping her work with her. They have other staff there helping, and I'm glad she has all of that. And this is such a farce. And after being in there the first day, I came out and a reporter asked me, well, what are your thoughts about this, Sheriff Mack? You're the president of CSPOA. You created the constitutional sheriff concept and movement. What do you think about all this? And I said, in the 20 years that I was in government service as a peace officer and as a sheriff, and the 20 years after that I've done working with governments all over this country, I can tell you, I've been to court hundreds and hundreds of times, probably close to 1,000. And this is the biggest farce of a case in court that I've ever seen. There is no mens rea there. That, in other words, if you commit a crime, they have to prove criminal intent, that you intentionally committed a crime for some selfish gain. This had to have tried, they have to try somewhere to say, yes, this benefited Tina Peters somehow. She was the county recorder for Mesa. There were irregularities reported to her by other people and staff. And she just tried to investigate that. She tried to secure the tabulation of the votes so they would be available for any subsequent investigation. And they arrested her for that.
She did her job is what it sounds like.
She did exactly her job. And now this is a shot across the bow to warn anyone else. If you ever think that you can try to interfere with our cheating, this is what's going to happen. And that's exactly what they're doing. They're making sure that they will guarantee future cheating if they want it.
Gosh.
Well, oh, and an employee of Dominion testified. And I thought he was pretty measured and halfway decent. One of Tina's former employees was not even close. She was so biased and wanting to just say everything bad that she possibly could. And I can't believe that they allowed her to do it. But the judge is a little bit one-sided. He gives a lot more objections. He sustains objections from the state prosecutors way more than he does Tina's defense team. But I still haven't seen anything really egregious. But I like the jury's, for the most part, I like how the jury's paying attention. But the jury is really young. And I just don't know if these young kids, you know, there's probably 7 or 8 of them that are 25 and younger. And it just, you never know what you're going to get with a jury. And this one is even more so.
Unfortunately.
But I love Tina, and I pray, everybody needs to pray for Tina. She even said that. Everybody, pray for her and pray for this jury to release her and acquit her so that she can be a free person again. And this is one thing that almost made me cry. She doesn't have any support from her family. Her family is pretty much abandoned. And they don't agree with her.
And we've experienced that.
Really sad.
You know, we've experienced that too. We had family deeply betray us. And, you know, I got to sit there in California, Sacramento area, and listen to her speak personally. And she spoke just before I did. And she's an amazing, courageous person. And if I'm getting the story right, they've done some really nasty things to her. Like her husband was having health issues and declining mental state. And they went into the hospital unbeknownst to her and talked him into signing a divorce papers when he didn't know what he was doing. I mean, these people are brutal. They're brutal to vile. You know, I hope
he's
I got
gone through an awful lot, and we just really need to pray for her and support her and lift her up.
Yeah. And I have to say, you know, if we had some of these things in place, people like Tina might be protected. They might have a chance.
If she had a constitutional sheriff, this would have never happened.
Yep.
Yep, never.
Well, people need to learn their history. They need to understand. You mentioned the young jury. It's unfortunate a lot of young people, because you and I both went through the Cold War. We knew that the Soviet communism was evil. Generally, most Americans thought that if they weren't Jane Fonda. But yeah. You mentioned with Alex today, Eva Perón, Evita, as she's more popularly known. I just want to tell you before we close here, you inspired me, because I want to do an article on her. It's a very interesting thing. She was glamorized by Madonna and others, but she was the epitome of communism and fascism, where she's using the poverty of the people to enrich herself and acting as if she's abdicating for them.
Have you seen the movie or play?
I haven't, no.
There's a part where Eva was traveling in Europe. And it was just on they called it a rainbow tour, where she was just out doing public relations visits with several European countries, Spain and England and whatnot. And she really got mad afterwards of one of the visits, because she was telling somebody on her staff who was a former admiral in the Navy. And she goes, "Can you believe it? Those people actually called me a whore." They called me a whore. Oh, and he goes, "Well, you know what? People still call me Admiral, even though I gave up the Navy long ago."
Oh, interesting.
And so he was telling her, "I know you used to be, but, you know," and literally the story of Eva Perón is that she slept her way to the top. Mm-hmm. And I think there's probably some comparison there.
I can't think of anybody who, in modern times, you know.
I know.
Yeah, the similarities are striking, you know. And I wanted to say, I'll send you this, but I just wrote an article, and I was on Joe Hoft's show this morning, and it's called "When Communism Bowed to the Cross," and it's largely the story of Pope John Paul II and how he helped Poland overcome communism. And to your point, it was peaceful. It was through a spiritual renewal, revival, but also he encouraged people. The first thing he said to people was, do not be afraid. And he reminded them of their spiritual heritage, that in Poland, there had been 1,000 years of Christianity and Catholicism, and the Soviets had been in power for, you know, you could count the number of years on one hand, probably not very long. So I think you're right about this peaceful. I think I'm really studying, Sheriff Mack, how do we do communism? And I think we have to stay peaceful if at all possible.
Amen. Yeah, we can do that. And folks, you can help us. Join us at the CSPOA Posse. Go to CSPOA.org and get these books for everybody. You need to read this. You need to pass these around. And folks, we can take back America. We can take back our liberty. We can secure our families and freedoms and our natural rights, as we've talked about today. But we cannot do this if you're not part of the process. Join us in this holy cause. That's what Patrick Henry called it back in 1775 in his famous Give Me Liberty speech. Folks, we can do this. The holy cause of liberty is the same. We, the people, must be involved. And if you're working with your sheriffs to do this, it will remain peaceful, and our civil disobedience will be protected by the number one lawman in the country and in your county, the only one that reports to you, and that is your county sheriff. And folks, let's do it. If you're involved in the process, it will remain peaceful. If your sheriff's involved in the process, it will remain peaceful. He works for you.
Well, that's beautiful. Thank you for that message of hope. And Sheriff Mack, I know you had to go. You have to go, but thank you so much for your time. Look forward to having you on the show again soon, and hopefully I will see you in Orlando.
I would love both. Thank you. I'd love to be on your show again, and I will see you there. Thank you.
All right, great. Thank you, sir.